The book of John, chapter 12.
John, chapter 12, verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Father, we thank you for this scripture that we've been allowed to look at this morning. And I pray, Father, you'd touch us by the sweet Holy Spirit to stand and preach the Word of God. And Father, I ask that you would give us a spirit of hearing today to make response and application to your Word. I pray, God, you'd help us to take the Word of God and hide it deep in our hearts that we may not sin against Thee. Lord, we ask for this unction this morning, God, that only you can give. We ask for what we could not buy. We ask for what we could not borrow, which is the gift of God. We ask for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We believe that the disciples were just plain, everyday, ordinary, common men. Men that Jesus chose. Men that Jesus knew were rough, rugged, and raw. Men that were transformed by the power of Christ into becoming the Master's men. I say 12. We know that 11 of those men that walked with Jesus turned to Jesus and were transformed for the glory of God. But one of those men, Judas Iscariot, would not be changed though he walked with the Lord. And I would like to set out to prove today that the same sun that melts the wax is the same sun that hardens the clay. When we look at Judas Iscariot this morning, we notice his classification in the book of Matthew, chapter number 10. His name being Judas Iscariot. Now the scripture says in Matthew chapter number 10, verse number 1, And when he had called unto him his twelve disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. His classification. Judas' name in the Greek is Judas, but in the Hebrew it is the word Judah, which means praise. A bit of a paradox, don't you know, because Judas would not praise the Lamb of God, but lived his life to praise the devil. His last name, Iscariot, is a Greek word that is based on a Hebrew word. It is two words, Iscariot. The word Ish is the Hebrew word for man. Kariot is the name of a city in Judah. Kariot is the name. Judas Iscariot. Judah, the man from Kariot. That being true, we understand something real quick about Judas. That he was the only disciple that was not from Galilee. He was a Jew from Judah, but he was a bit of an outsider to the group. Therefore, not being one of the good old boys from Galilee, he felt isolated. He felt alone. he kind of felt pushed outside of the inside group. We do realize not only his classification, but his call. Do you see it? That he is one of the disciples. Now, his individual call is not recorded in the Scripture, but obviously Jesus did call him, and he was made an apostle of Jesus Christ. In fact, when Jesus chose Judas, Jesus knew that Judas would ultimately betray him. Jesus knew this from the beginning of time. Jesus knew that the Old Testament Scriptures prophesied this man Judas would betray the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And mark this down in your mind. When Jesus called Judas as an apostle, knowing that he would betray him, the other disciples didn't know. And the fact that he called Judas did not surprise them. They felt like he was qualified to be one of the apostles. It is mentioned three times in the Scripture. In Matthew 10, in the book of Mark, and in the book of Luke, Judas' name is recorded amongst the 12 apostles, but he's always recorded last, and it's always said that he was a traitor, or he was the one that betrayed the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to see not only his classification about his name and his call into apostleship, but I want you to see, thirdly this morning, his character. Unlike the rest of the disciples, this man possessed outward qualities that did cause him to be commended for his calling as an apostle. You understand, the other apostles, they elected Judas to be the treasurer of the group. They trusted him. They didn't trust Matthew. Matthew was a former tax collector. He was an extortionist and a thief. That was his testimony. And the Lord had changed his life, but still they didn't trust him. Simon the Canaanite was a former assassin. They didn't want him having control of the treasury. So when they looked amongst themselves, they thought, who would make a good treasurer? And they said, Judas is the most trustworthy one of our entire group. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. The Bible says, these 12 Jesus sent forth. So Jesus sent them forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. We'll stop reading right there. Judas was sent out to preach the gospel and to heal those that were sick and cast out devils. And Judas went out with the other 11, being amongst the 12 there, and he was able, by the power of God, to stand and preach the gospel to the poor and to raise up those that were sick, and he cast out demons. That's the kind of power that Judas Iscariot had given by the Lord. You ever thought about that? But flip back to Matthew chapter number 7. Jesus did give them a preliminary warning. He had told these disciples before he ever sent them forth. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 22. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? He warned them, there'll be some of you that will say, you've cast out devils. And Judas did. You'll say, we prophesied in your name. And Judas did. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Judas went out and did these wonderful works, but his heart never believed the gospel. He never believed in the person of Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Jesus announced to them in John 13 that one of you that sit at the table with me will betray me? And one by one they all said, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Do you understand? None of them suspected Judas. If they would have, they'd have said, "Is it Judas?" That's not what they said. They thought the culprit, the betrayer, the informer, the traitor would be themselves, but not Judas. You see, Judas was a young, zealous, devout Jew. He was a man who did not want Rome to have rule over the Jews. And quickly he heard about one named Jesus, who the people believed was the Messiah. And he thought, "I'll join up with that group if I can." And Jesus called him. He saw this as an opportunity to overthrow Roman oppression. He saw this as an opportunity to reestablish the glory days to Israel, and that they would have great prosperity. I might say that Judas never followed Jesus other than for this reason. He saw Jesus as the materialistic opportunity to get in on the gravy train of the change of authority. Do you understand today that Judas saw Jesus as a way for personal preeminence and personal power? You would be surprised today who hides under the tree of the church to try to get power and prestige in our communities. Judas, though, I believe, had the same potential as the other disciples to have his heart transformed had he been willing. But he was not willing. You see, the same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. Those other 11 men, their hearts were melted and molded by Jesus Christ. But Judas's heart was hardened to the things of God. How unfortunate. I want you to see his chance. I want you to think with me. Now, Jesus knew that Judas would betray him, but he offered him every opportunity to not do it. Think of the miracles that Judas would have saw Jesus perform. The dead raised, the dumb being able to talk, the deaf being able to hear, the lepers being cleansed. Jesus made this statement in John 14:11, and I believe it was in Judas's hearing. He said, "Believe me for the works." Not only did Judas see great works, but think about what he heard. Jesus would have taught him about the unjust steward in Luke 16. Jesus told Judas, "No servant can serve two masters." You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. Hello. He warned him in Matthew chapter number 6, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven." He warned Judas about greed, did he not? He said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." He told Judas about heaven. He said, "Whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life." He told Judas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." These warnings Judas heard. Judas was taught about a place called hell. And he was taught about a way to avoid hell. Jesus made this statement in John 6:70 in Judas's hearing. The Bible says Jesus answered them, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. He saw miracles and great works, and he heard the teachings and the warnings of Jesus Christ on a daily basis for 3.5 years. But Judas never applied the learning from these lessons. He had his chance to get right, but refused Jesus. We saw in John chapter number 12, his complaint. Did you know in John 12, which I read to you this morning, is the first time that Judas opened his mouth in the Holy Scriptures. And quickly when he opens his mouth, his camouflage comes off. Look here in this scripture again in verses 1 through 3. We see Lazarus who's sitting there at a supper. Lazarus, which had been dead and had been raised in the newness of life. We see salvation and deliverance there. We see Martha serving. She was a servant for the Lord. And we see one named Mary who comes and breaks open a box and pours it on Jesus' feet and wipes His feet with her hair. The Bible clearly points out to us that she worships Jesus and she anoints Him for His burial. She's crowning Him as Lord and Savior of her life. And as she does so, Judas says in verse number five, he says to Jesus, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" What does he do the first time he opens his mouth? He criticizes worship. He does not want people worshiping Jesus Christ. "I don't like these people going to altar. I don't like them getting up singing more songs. I don't like that stuff. All I'm interested in is getting there and getting out." That was Judas Iscariot, criticizing the worship and the worship of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In verses 7 and 8, Jesus rebuked him and said, "Let her alone. For against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." Now, understanding in verse number 6, John, the writer here, under the leadership of the Holy Ghost, inserts an editorial comment. He said this, that Judas made this statement, referring to Judas's motivation, that he was the one that held the bag, he's the treasurer, and he was a thief. In other words, he said, "If I could have just got my hands on what she was doing there, I would have stolen it." He'd been stealing from them for over 3 years. This poor group of ragtag men, Judas was stealing their resources. Don't you understand what the devil wants to do? He wants to hinder your ability to worship God. He wants to steal your resources. He don't want you to give. Use it for yourself. Use it to make yourself happy. He don't want you to respond in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to question everything and cause you to become obedient. He's interested in stealing. He is a thief. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to steal God's glory. Jesus said, "Let her alone." Now, we see His choice. When Jesus said, "She's done this for my burial," what He's saying is, "I'm on my way to the cross." Do you see that? Judas didn't like that. Judas didn't like Jesus going to the cross. Judas said, "I'll go with you. If you want to get a sword and fight, we'll fight and we'll overthrow Roman oppression. But I don't think the way to victory is through the cross." Jesus said, "It's the only way. I must give my life for the sinner. I must be buried and rise again on the third day." Judas said, "Oh no, I don't like that. I don't want to go through the cross." You see, there's a lot of people trying to find salvation in another way other than going through the cross. I'm going to tell you what, the way of the cross leads home. It's by the blood of the Lord Jesus that we have the forgiveness of our sins. The devil will try to convince you that, well, there's another way. You can do some physical action and you can reverse the conviction that you feel. The only way that conviction can be taken away from you is by the blood of Jesus Christ being shed for you, being applied to your life that you might have forgiveness. And we see in the book of Matthew 26, Judas makes, number 6, his choice. There's a parallel passage, or maybe it's even another account. He is in the house of Simon the leper, and here comes another woman opening an alabaster box and pouring it on Jesus' feet. I mean, almost the same thing that Mary had done. And the Bible said in verse 8, when His disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." Jesus begins to instruct again about He's going to the cross there. And Judas said, "I don't want to go to the cross." Look at verse 14. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Isn't it amazing that the very same day that Jesus was worshipped and anointed by this woman, the very same day that Jesus was loved and worshipped, he was betrayed and hated the same day. It's done in our churches all the time. There are people who love the Lord. And then there are people who come just to see what the preacher wore or what his wife wore or find a fault with the service or put down the choir. It's the only reason they come to find fault with the church and to tell you how business ought to be handled. But loving the Lord, they have no idea, no concept of believing the person of Jesus Christ. That was Judas's motive. He wanted to take the glory away from Christ. After negotiating this deal, he runs out immediately. He's mad. He's been rebuked. He don't like the cross. He said, this guy Jesus is going to die. I don't believe he's going to rise again. I better get a better deal. I better find a new way to up the ante. And he makes the deal and he sells Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Back in that day, that would have been worth about $20. It was a lot of money back then. $20. A man that could have possessed heaven forever sold it for $20. Judas, in the book of John, chapter 13. Help us, Lord. Here we go. In the book of John, chapter number 13, Judas has made this deal. The Bible says in verse number 4 that he riseth from supper, speaking about Jesus, and he laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel therewith he was girded. We spoke last week about Jesus being a servant. The King of all glory humbled himself to wash the feet of his disciples. Judas, the traitor, the hater of Christ, is in that group. With the devil in his heart and hatred in his soul, Judas sits there and Jesus humbles himself and gets down before him and wipes his feet. Judas sat there and thought, I hope nobody knows. I hope nobody finds out what my real motives are. I wonder if there are people that sit in church and say, I hope the preacher don't know. I really can't stand it. I hope the church don't know. I really don't like them. I only show up just to get people off my back, but really want to be here. Well, we'll know by Wednesday whether you really want to be here or not. We'll know by Sunday night whether you really want to be here or not. It'll always tell on you in the long run. I hope nobody will find out, he thinks. And Jesus washes his feet anyway. And down here in verse number 10, Jesus saith to him, and he's talking to Peter, he said, he that is washed, because Peter tried to stop him, he saith that he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, said he, ye are not all clean. What about that? He washed Judas' feet. Judas was washed by Jesus, but not saved. Washing with water will not save you. You go get baptized if you want, but it won't save you. Washing with water will not save you. You must be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. In verse number 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spoke. The book of Matthew would tell us that they begin to say, Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? I wonder if Jesus said to this entire group of 300 and something assembled believers today, One of you or more will betray me. I wonder how many of us would say, Well, can't be me. Or would you say, Lord, is it I? Am I the one going to lay down my cross? Am I the one going to deny and reject the Lord in the long run? Oh, God forbid that I should do such a thing. The disciples looked on one another, doubting of whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to Him that he should ask who it should be of whom He spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto Him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when He had dipped the sop, He gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. He took the sop. Now, what is the sop? Y'all ever sopped a bowl? My mama's made some good old cakes and icings, and I've sopped a bowl. I mean, I put my hands down there, fingers down in there, spoon down in there, and anything that's left over, that's what I got. Amen. I've sopped the chocolate gravy bowl. I've sopped out of the icing. Hey, don't y'all look at me funny. You've sopped a time or two in your life too. Amen. That's not what this is talking about, sopping the leftovers. You see, the Jewish custom was this, that they would take sop, which was a piece of bread, and they would dip it down in a paste of fruit and nuts, and making it very sweet. And the host of the supper would give the sop to the guest of honor for that night. Jesus, in trying to give this sop, was trying to honor Judas. He was trying to show love for Judas and affection for Judas. He'd already shown it when He washed His feet. Now He hands him the sop saying, I'm honoring you. I'm respecting you. I'm loving you. I'm doing everything I can to see if you'll change your mind. But Jesus knew He wouldn't. We might say that in giving Him this sop, He was giving Him one last chance to get right. You ever heard the preacher say that in the service? One more chance. One more chance. One more chance before the judgment of God falls. He hands this sop over to Judas. This sop identifies Judas. What's this now? He identifies him as the betrayer, but he identifies him no longer as one of the group, but as a guest. The devil's not welcome here, church. I'm not shaking his hand. I'm not going to pray for him to get saved. I don't want the devil in my life. I don't want him in my family. I don't want him in this church. The devil's not welcome here. The Bible says, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. No man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, you see that? He took it. Let me just make this little note. Sop, S-O-P, son of perdition. When he gave him the sop, the Bible says that he had received the sop, he went out immediately, and it was night. You might say it was dark when Judas left. Now, when Jesus left that Last Supper, we know that He went to the garden, did He not? The Bible says that He took with Him Peter, James, and John, and He began to pray, being in great agony under a burden. And He said, Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. He went and checked back on His disciples, and all three times Peter, James, and John were asleep. The Bible says that Jesus was under such a great burden and being in such great agony that He slept. Became as great drops of blood. Jesus came from the garden and He said to the three, Peter, James, and John, He said, rise up now and let us be going. Behold, He is at hand that doth betray me. Those men stand up and they hear feet marching. Scores of men. It was Judas the informer. He knew where Jesus would be. He knew who Jesus was. And he told him, he said, the one that I kiss, that's him. And he walked up to him and he said to him, hail, Master. And he hugged him and embraced the Lord and he kissed him on the cheek. If Jesus' sweat had become of great drops of blood and was running from his forehead, the blood Judas would have kissed the blood and turned and went to hell. Judas would have been washed by Jesus and turned and went to hell. The Bible would tell us right here in the book of Matthew. Turn with me there. The book of Matthew, chapter number 26. I want you to see this, and we're almost done. Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 50. When Judas kissed him, 50, Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" What did Jesus say to Judas when he betrayed him? He called him friend. He was betrayed by his own friend. Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Go with me to chapter 27. They've took Jesus and they've scourged him, bringing him before Pontius Pilate. He's on his way to the cross. Verse number 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Repented himself. What does that mean? Did he get right with God? No. Metolomaihi means that he felt sorry because he got caught. And his thinking was, rather than like most men, when you sin, you ask God for forgiveness, his thinking was, I won't ask for forgiveness, I'll just give the money back. He thought some act physically would take away his conviction, would take away this great sense of guilt that he had. In fact, it was so enormous that he felt like he was beyond repentance and he felt like he was no longer worthy to live. He repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." Even the devil knew that Jesus' blood was innocent blood. They said unto him, "Now what is that to us? See thou to that." Now we know in verse 5, "And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." He thought he was no more worthy to live. At least that's what the devil had convinced him of. Peter had denied the Lord, but he found a place of repentance. Judas betrayed the Lord and he did not want to get right with God. Acts chapter 1 verse 18, and we're done right here. The Bible says, "Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out." Now, how'd that happen, preacher? He was going to hang himself. Well, Judas, serving the devil, never will do anything right. I don't know when he hung himself if the tree limb broke. I don't know if the rope broke or the knot slipped. But as he fell out there across that precipice, he fell down on the cliffs and he hit and he busted. All his body just busted and his bowels gushed out. And the Bible says in verse number 25 that he might go, at the end of the verse, that he might go to his own place. Judas is in hell. Jesus made this statement, John 17:12. "Those that thou gavest to me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled." Judas was a man governed by evil passions and empty pretenses. He had the words of the gospel, but not the heart of the gospel. He's the most infamous traitor that's ever walked upon this earth. But he was not unique. There's enough of us in him and enough of him in us that we ought to be warned that it's just possible that we could do likewise. 12 men walked with Jesus. 11 turned to him. 1 turned away. It's the world's greatest example of lost opportunity. Judas could have possessed the splendor of heaven, but he sold it for $20. The world's greatest example of wasted privilege. Here's Judas, standing in the presence of Christ and filled with Satan in his heart. You may be here today. You understand? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my midst, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And you may sit here in the presence of Jesus and have self in your heart, or try to entertain the devil and his thoughts about some situation. I don't know what it is. How faithful are you really to Christ? Would you betray Him? Would you betray your calling? Would you betray your character, your family, your Lord? No way, no way, preacher. I'd never do that. I'll remind you that every disciple said, Is it I? Judas even said it with the innocence of a child, hoping the Lord would know. Is it I? Can you imagine his feet being washed? And he said there, I hope you don't know. I remind this church today that God knows your heart. He knows whether you've betrayed Him, whether you're really sorry and repentant for that, whether you really want to walk with Christ, or whether you do it because you've been caught and you want to put on a good show. I don't want to come to this church for a show. You stand to your feet. That's the message today. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. God help. You bow your head today.